This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Prime Time, moments away from kickoff in the Sugar Bowl and SEC showdown as Ole Miss taking on Georgia. Right now here at Circa, Matt, total 54, juiced under at minus 15, and Georgia a six-point favorite. We've seen a little bit of support come in on the Ole Miss Rebels today as the 6.5s got scooped up at most shops. FanDuel still sits at 6.5, but most shops out there. Was actually ironic about this. When you and I recorded the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast earlier this week, You had said you went to South Point and you laid 6 with Georgia because that was the only spot in town with a 6. They're now at 6.5, and everywhere else is at 6.
Yeah, ironic how that's happened. I'm not going to make too much out of the moves in the market because we saw some steam on Texas Tech this morning. Tim, how many times have we talked about this where the steam in the bowl season has been wrong? Right, so does it really mean that much that Ole Miss is getting a little bit of action here before kickoff tonight, the Sugar Bowl? Probably not. It's not a major move anyway. It's just a real minor move.
Yeah. So we saw heavy steam on Iowa on New Year's Eve. You and I were on that side. That was accurate. But we also saw heavy steam on Michigan, and that did not ultimately come to fruition. So we will see. I think we're going to catch up with Chuck Esposito here in just a little moment. So we are efforting to get Chuck on the line to just give us the latest from behind the counter when it comes to this game as well. So we will check in on that. But, you know, Matt, you mentioned a little bit. I don't think you have a bet on it, but the total, this total was 56.5 when these two teams played on October 18th. It went over. We've seen under money come in, and I think that's the way. If you had to play it, you probably would lean towards the under here.
I'm not going to play it. I really don't lean either way, to be honest, because the first time these teams played, it was a shootout, Tim, and this time I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I just don't have much of an opinion. I guess you could say if you held the proverbial gun to my head, I would play the under, but I'm not going to play
it. So far, the three quarterfinals that we've seen, first half full game unders have both cashed in all of these games. We saw it last night. I was very fortunate. It felt like I would not get the first half under after the pick six in the opening half with Miami and Ohio State, but ultimately it did get there. A dead under earlier this morning, and really a dead under in the Rose Bowl. Indiana did their job to get the game over the total, but Alabama did not comply as they lost by 5 touchdowns, 38-35. So, Matt, both you and I like Georgia here in this spot. We're moments away from kickoff in this one. Colby Young being back, certainly a positive here for the Georgia Bulldogs. This is his first game back since the Ole Miss game. So he's been out for over 2 months, 23 catches, 336 yards, and a touchdown on the year. Everything seems to go through Zachariah Branch. So we're moments away from kickoff, Matt, and I think people always like to know where the action is coming in. So let's do that right now.
Where are the lines changing, and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
And our good friends still at work on this New Year's Day, Chuck Esposito, race and sportsbook director at the Red Rock Casino, part of the Station's Casino Group. Chuck, right now we're moments away from kickoff, Georgia taking on Ole Miss. And my worry is the game that we played all throughout the college football season on the tailgate show, what was the most lopsided ticket count? My worry is that Georgia is a pretty lopsided ticket count. What does the action look like from a side standpoint here this evening?
Yeah, overall, it's been pretty two-way, guys, to be honest with you. When you look at the game itself, 66% of the tickets are on Georgia. So if you look at the three games today, they are the largest ticket count. You had 58% on Oregon, who got there, and 56% on Indiana, who got there. So 66% on Georgia. Under is really a game that you've seen 53% of the tickets on the under, but an overwhelming 77% of the tickets on the Georgia money line, which is the highest of the three games on the money line today.
Interesting. Chuck, you're one of the hardest working guys in the business. Look at this. New Year's Day, still in his office at 5 o'clock. That's impressive. Total is 54. here at circa 53.5, 53, some other spots. Where are you on the total? And have you seen which side of the total have you seen more action?
Yeah, we're at 54, Matt, on the total right now. Although the ticket count does favor the under a bit, we're under fans. Best case for us with kind of everything over the last couple of days dumping into this game right now really is getting the under in the game and Ole Miss. So Ole Miss and under is probably best case scenario as you get closer to kickoff right now. And that's Ole Miss on the money line would be best case.
Chuck, I'm curious. We got three really big games today, starting early in the morning with the Orange Bowl, Oregon 23-0 over Texas Tech. Then you go to the Rose Bowl, Indiana 38-3 over Alabama, and then you got the nightcap. What's the wagering handle like on those three games? I got to think the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl probably going to dwarf what you saw in the early morning game. Is that right?
Yeah, the handle was crazy, though, in that Oregon-Texas Tech game, guys. We saw just a large amount of money come in this morning, especially on Texas Tech. I mean, we closed Texas Tech a one-point favorite. We were as high as 2.5 on Oregon, and a lot of it was public money. There was some sharp money early on the Ducks, but there was a lot of large casino guys who were loading up on Texas Tech. Early on, I mean, the way they played defense, it looked like they were going to be in that game, but Oregon just proved too much for them. Second game, we saw a little bit of money show on Alabama, but ultimately we were Indiana fans in that game as well. So overall, so far, the playoff games have been fairly good for us.
Chuck Esposito joining us right before kickoff, teams trotting onto the field down in New Orleans as we speak. Chuck, I see that you've already put up a number for next week's Peach Bowl, which will take place on Friday night, so 8 days from now. What have you guys opened up at for Oregon and Indiana?
We opened the game Indiana 4.5, Tim, and that was just watching how as impressive as Indiana looked. It was a little bit of a quick take. There was some money that showed up on the Ducks. We quickly went to 4. You think about that first matchup with Indiana going to Oregon. I think that's when everybody kind of became believers. One of Oregon's scores in that game was a defensive score, interception for a touchdown. So Indiana really controlled the flow. I think just watching both of the games today, Indiana, they both were impressive. But I think just from the naked eye, man, Indiana just looked like it rocked it on both sides of the ball. I think that's why they're a 4-point favorite right now. It is a little bit higher than I thought it would be before today's two games, but they're a 4-point favorite. We opened it 4.5.
Chuck Esposito, once again, joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Once again, he is sitting at Georgia -6, 54 the total, -215 on the money line. And fair to say you're going to be pretty sizable Ole Miss fans, or because of what you've seen from the previous three games, this game isn't as important, if you will?
No, we're pretty good size. I mean, if we can get them to win outright, would be ultimately, again, the best case scenario. Georgia and over is by far the worst case scenario. That's Georgia covering 6 and going over 53.5. But we're pretty good size Ole Miss fans in this game, guys.
Chuck, let you go after this, but have you seen anything that you would consider really sharp money on the side on either side of this game, Ole Miss or Georgia?
Yeah, a little bit, guys, on Ole Miss, especially when the number was 7. There definitely was some sharp money that came in, but it's kind of been dwarfed so far of what we've seen just from the public money on Georgia throughout the course of the day.
Chuck, always appreciate your insight. Enjoy the game, and Happy New Year.
All right, thanks, guys. Same to you.
There he is, Chuck Esposito. He's the best. Appreciate him jumping on and giving us the latest from behind the counter. He is.
A lot of bookmakers sitting at home today. Working from home, Chuck Esposito in his office out at the Red Rock. That's one of my favorite casinos in Vegas, by
the way.
It's
a great spot.
Really awesome
is.
Hotel casino out there, Red Rock in Summerlin. You know, it's interesting. When you have a 7 up there, you are going to get sharp money on the dog on 7. But that sharp money is on the number more than anything. You're not seeing the same sharp money at 6.5 and 6. You were seeing that at 7, like Chuck said.
By the way, we'll talk more about this as the evening goes on. Oregon-Indiana lines are popping. Chuck, by the way, he said he opened 4.5. That's down to 4. DraftKings is down to 4. FanDuel down to 3.5. So the 4.5s have been gobbled up in the market. The total, depending on where you look, either 47.5, 47, or 46.5. I did take a little under 47.5 on this game, which is still available out there at a couple of the national shops. All right, moments away, Matt, from kickoff, Ole Miss in Georgia. We're going to do like what we do every Monday and Thursday night. We will certainly have opinions as the game goes on from an in-game standpoint, if there's going to be opportunities to jump in. But both you and I do have pregame positions. You have Georgia closing out a money line parlay, a little bit on the spread. I'm on the opposite. I do have a little money line parlay. Once you gave it out on the podcast, I said, plus money on this money line parlay? Okay, mm-hmm. I'll take that. And then I did take a bigger bet on Georgia -6.5, which, as you know by now, not the best of the number. Market is down to 6 at a number of spots, and little bit of sharp money, as you heard from Chuck, at his shop on Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's a bit surprising because when Ohio State lost to Miami last night, I thought the Indiana money line might drop a little bit today. Those saying, well, the Big Ten is a bit phony. And then that didn't happen. The Indiana money line went up to -260 from -235 in a lot of spots. The Georgia money line dipped as low as $2, now back up to around 220. And so, like I said, I didn't get the best of the number here in the Georgia money line either. So hopefully that doesn't matter, and the Bulldogs take care of business. But like I said, Tim, I don't think this is going to be easy. And hopefully the Georgia defense plays up to what it's been in the last four games, 7.3 points per game. And the significant coaching edge we think Kirby Smart has here against Pete Golding, hopefully that shows too.
Georgia will kick off to start the game. So Ole Miss will start with the ball in their hands. And we are about to wrap up a busy day of college football underway down in New Orleans. Hey, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Early punt for Ole Miss gives the ball to Georgia. So the defense for Georgia that, Matt, you were discussing and we talked about quite a bit, how much improved they have been from earlier in the year. They get a stop, and they will now start at around their own 20-yard line. Zachariah Branch, a short punt return there, as we do always on Mondays and Thursdays here when the NFL is going on. Matt, we will keep people posted on the live line if there are opportunities from a live betting standpoint. And right now, the live number, still 6.5, but juice towards Georgia. 8 possessions to start the game back in October. 8 scores, and we will see if the Georgia offense is rolling like they were back in October.
I don't know if it will, Tim. I have a feeling this is going to be a different game than we saw the first time around between these teams. What was the final of that game? 34-26?
43-35.
That's right, 43-35. That was it, yeah. Georgia with a Gunnar Stockton with a pass, about 15-yard completion on the first.
Oscar,
I love it.
Delp.
Love it when offensive coordinators call something different on first down right out of the gate, right? The rollout pass, not the run up the middle for 1 yard. So nice job here on the first down call, and Georgia gets 15 yards out of it.
I was thinking of you this morning when Oregon just couldn't help themselves running the ball into the teeth of the Texas Tech defense. I was thinking somewhere right now, Matt Eumanns is saying, stop running the ball up the middle on first down.
I got to tell you, the play calling on both sides in that game this morning was really aggravating. Oregon and Texas Tech.
I think Oregon should have beat them by more. Yeah. I just Texas Tech couldn't really do anything whatsoever in that contest. As
Texas Tech coaching staff did a really poor job in that game today. Surprisingly poor job.
McGuire was too busy spending time at press conferences calling out Notre Dame for not joining a conference.
I knew you were going to bring that up today.
No, I mean, if Texas Tech was independent, they would have won today.
Yeah,
I don't know. Ball at the 50-yard line.
I know this. Notre Dame would not have gotten boat raced by Indiana 38-3 at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, Matt, the SEC just means more.
Look at Gunnar Stockton with the Superman dive for a first down.
And let me say this. Mm-hmm. Georgia can win the national championship.
Of course.
It doesn't mean the SEC was great this year.
Right.
Right? Two things could be accurate. I think Georgia's playing as good as anybody in college football right now. And you pointed it out earlier in the show. Of the five teams now remaining, I think the only one we think that cannot win the national title is Ole Miss.
Right.
I think the other four can win it.
Exactly.
And that's not a referendum on, oh, see, the SEC. No, the SEC was overrated this year. They didn't deserve to have five teams make the playoff, but they did, and a lot of them got exposed. Some got exposed in bowl season. But Georgia facing a first down here as a good start to their drives, and Gunnar Stockton going to tee one off here to Zachariah Branch. Some hand fighting, but no call there down the sideline, second down and 10. Matt, we actually do have the commissioner, Greg Sankey, from...
we got him on the show tonight?
No, he's not joining the show. I don't know if he would want to be joining the show after that performance from Alabama. But Greg Sankey, about a month ago, Matt, prior to the SEC championship game...
We didn't even talk about this. You're gonna bring up when he said seven...
Well, let's hear from him before...
SEC teams should have made
the playoff bracket? Let's hear from Greg
Sankey.
How many teams should be in this bracket from the SEC?
Okay. I think we'll see a quality football game with two teams that have high, high quality wins. One of them actually won a game. The best win on the record this year is Alabama's win over Georgia at Georgia, the third ranked team in the nation, because one and two have no losses. So I focus on the opportunity, and I think their participation in the college football playoff is clear, but we're going to have to see what happens today. I actually think we deserve seven in. I think the seven teams that are in the top 14, half of the top 14 teams are from the SEC. That's an indication that this league is different, the expectations are different, the competition is different, and the rewards should respect each of those elements.
The kids would say that hasn't aged well as we get a deep throw from Gunnar Stockton and no call, so a fourth down upcoming for Georgia. Bend but don't break for Ole Miss. Really didn't like the play calling down the stretch there, and Georgia's going to punt the ball back to Ole Miss. So looked promising to start, and ultimately they come up with no points on their opening drive here.
Yeah, and that should not have been a flag. And that would have been a bogus flag if that was called against Ole Miss. I mean, you have to look at things objectively no matter which side you bet. And I bet Georgia, that was definitely not a defensive penalty on Ole Miss. If anything, the Georgia wide receiver, Georgia receiver pushed off. But that was a promising drive, Tim, and it stalled around midfield. So Bulldogs pump, and they do pin the Rebels deep in their own territory.
Somewhere our buddy Drew Butler, Georgia punter, Ray Guy Award winner, is happy after that punt getting downed at the two-yard line. But look, I'm not going to make too much fun of Greg Sankey. His job is to be out there talking up the conference he commissions.
He's got to promote his league.
But it is,
you think he's biased?
A little bit. Yeah. It is laughable to think now that that conference deserves seven teams in the playoff. It's laughable to think they deserve five teams in the playoff. Five of the 12 teams, five of the 10 Power Four teams were from the SEC, Matt. And just a reminder, Texas A&M was a three-point favorite against Miami. Lost 10-3. Last night, or earlier today, you had Alabama as a seven-point underdog. Lost by 35. I know bowl games don't matter unless you want to, you know, pitch your narrative, but I tell you one thing. You think Vanderbilt wanted to beat Iowa, Matt?
Yes. I know Vandy, Clark Lee, Diego Pavia, and Vandy definitely wanted to win that bowl game.
Clark Lee told us right after, hey, we here at Vanderbilt, we play football. Well, they were 3.5-point favorite, Matt, and they lost to Iowa. Mm-hmm. How's that possible?
Iowa's a pretty good football team, though.
Missouri scored 7 points against Virginia.
Let me tell you something. Iowa held Indiana to 20. Iowa held Oregon to 18. Iowa was this close to beating the Hoosiers and the Ducks in Iowa City. And I mean, that's part of the reason we were on the Hawkeyes in that bowl game. Iowa's a legit football team. It should not be a surprise that the Hawkeyes beat Vandy.
Tennessee. They lost to Illinois. 3-point favorites. The only team so far in bowl season to cover out of the SEC is Texas. They covered against Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
who, by the way, was not an easy cover
Michigan's
until
not very
late.
Good.
And Michigan.
Michigan's been a poorly coached team all season with a freshman quarterback who can't play. And a freshman quarterback who really is overpaid and who needs somebody to step in and change the direction of his development. Tim, watching Bryce Underwood, it amazes me how sloppy his mechanics are and that the fact this guy was coached for a year by a college football coaching staff and he's worse. I think he's worse at the end of the year than he was at the beginning.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see as we pivot just real quickly. By the way, no score, two punts here in the game by Ole Miss, one by Ole Miss, one by Georgia. Ole Miss will start up at their own 2-yard line. Very good punt just a moment ago. Live number out to 7.5 total, down to 50.5. Going to Michigan real quickly, Jason Beck is headed to Michigan, the offensive coordinator of Utah. Mm-hmm. Matt, I was just on the sidelines yesterday. Devin Dampier, granted against a Nebraska team that was a bit depleted defensively, so I'm not going to say it was a full-strength Nebraska defense. That was the best game of Devin Dampier's Utah career, probably his entire collegiate career. He had 480 total yards. He was spinning it, ran for a 140. That is going to be quite the push and pull for Utah to try to keep Devin Dampier in Salt Lake City with now his head coach and offense coordinator and quarterback coach all headed to Ann Arbor.
Yeah, what do they do? I would let Bryce Underwood go.
I would bring Devin Dampier to
Dampier's
Michigan.
Definitely a better quarterback. You got to win right away. Now, I think Underwood's got the talent. He's got the – obviously, he's got the skills. He's got the talent to eventually develop into a really good quarterback. He needs a good coaching staff to bring that out of him. And this current – I'm going to say this past Michigan coaching staff did not do it. I think Kyle Whittingham would love to bring Devin Dampier to Ann Arbor. And he could win big with him next year. This year. It's actually 2026 now.
This year.
Yep.
Ole Miss starts their second drive with a strong run from Kawan Lacy to get out of the shadows of their own end zone. It'll be 2nd and 1 from the 10-yard line now for Ole Miss. Live total down to 48.5 in this one. Mm-hmm. And Lacy going to break a tackle and get a big chunk play here. So a strong couple of runs here for Lacy to get the ball out to around the 28-yard line. And the live spread back down to 5.5. The total keeps dropping, and we will see if we get another under in these playoffs. Matt, I did not touch the total and probably should have looked at the under, at least the way this game has initially started here. But a good couple of runs for Lacy. He is a stud. He was held to 33 yards rushing the first time these two teams played. He's already got 30 yards on 4 carries.
Well, those last 2 carries right there, very impressive. Rebels get out of a deep hole, and Lacy does it for him there with 2 impressive runs. You know, yesterday, that Vandy-Iowa game looked like a dead under, Tim. Mm-hmm. Late first half, 7-3. You have a couple of fluke plays, and the whole thing blows up and flies way over the total. You bet the first half under.
First half under, which was also very fortunate to get home. It looked like it was a slow start in the first quarter. Then things sped up a little bit. But fortunate to get that one under in the first half. 8.5 minutes to go, first quarter, Sugar Bowl, the finale of 4 quarterfinals. Scoreless between Georgia and Ole Miss. A pair of empty drives to start. And now Ole Miss with the ball and trying to get something going on their second drive and off to a good start here.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
55-yard field goal easily made by Ole Miss. Wow, that was drilled.
Can I say something, Tim? That field goal would have been good from close to 70 yards. That was halfway up the net from 55.
That was Aubrey-esque.
That was. Hey, Buffalo Bills, send your scouts out. You might want to sign this kicker.
Live number down to 4.5 now. Ole Miss, good drive starting at their own 2-yard line. They get points, and man, you know, you and I were sitting here saying, they're kicking a 55-yarder? Well, Pete Golding knew that they got that weapon.
Yeah.
That was, I believe, a season long for him, but he had hit 3 54-yarders. So Ole Miss strikes first. 3-0 is the score, and Georgia down to a 4.5-point favorite total. continues to drop. 48.5 is where we're at. The first half number, for those wondering, was 26.5. So Ole Miss strikes first here, Matt, and we'll see if the Georgia Bulldogs, whose first drive had some promise but ultimately stalled out, a couple of overthrown passes from Gunnar Stockton, and that was the first time this year, if you remove the final possession of the game on October 18th, that Ole Miss got a stop against Georgia. Eight possessions in Athens back on October 18th. All eight led to points. Their first possession did not get any points there. So Ole Miss strikes first. 3-0 is the score. Kewon Lacy already 31 yards on the ground. A strong second drive there by Ole Miss.
Tim, we got some Twitter feedback to talk about here on the show. I know Harry B., who is a professional bettor out of Louisiana, and he's a veteran, an older guy who actually is very sharp. He's been very critical of the Brian Kelly era at LSU for a few years, and he predicted the demise of Brian Kelly. He tweets this and says, I said it before, I'll say it again, Alabama never belonged in these playoffs. And he said, this Alabama will never win an SEC championship or a national championship as long as this carpetbagger is their head coach. You heard it here. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going to be at Alabama all that much longer.
It's just funny how sometimes, I mean, he didn't pull the wool over people's eyes at Fresno State, at Washington.
Did a great job at Fresno. Did a great job at Washington. But this Alabama job is a really big job. And, Tim, it's tough to follow a guy like Nick Saban. Yeah, it just really is.
You don't want to be the guy following the guy.
Right.
And
following the legend.
Yeah, the greatest coach of all time, at least in college. Maybe you could just say in all levels. But today was not Alabama's day. It was Indiana's day. Kirk Cignetti has done just remarkable doesn't even do it justice. It is something we've never seen before. A embarrassment to college football. That's what Indiana's football program has been, Matt, right, in my lifetime. And they are now 2 wins away from a national championship. They just won the Rose Bowl by 35 points. Like, 35 points.
I mean, I thought Indiana was going to win by double digits, but I did not see that butt whipping coming. I seriously thought the game was going to be something like, 30-17 or some sort, not a 38-3. Type of beatdown today. And that's why I think Kalen DeBoer is going to be in real trouble. Look, those Alabama fans, it's one thing to lose the game. It's another thing to be humiliated. Completely different thing to be humiliated in a game like that. And, Tim, we talked about this when the College Football Playoff Committee was setting its bracket. Did Alabama really deserve to be a playoff team? Then the Tide, they go on the road and they beat Oklahoma, and they look like they belong. But you and I talked about this off the air tonight. I wasn't impressed by Alabama's win over Oklahoma in the first round. The Sooners imploded. The punter dropped the ball, right? You got a quarterback through a terrible
pick six.
Oklahoma,
less than 300
absolutely,
yards of offense,
right,
man.
Imploded in that game, and it did not impress me what the Crimson Tide did there. Kurt Cignetti right now, just a different level.
Oklahoma got into the playoff mainly because of a win.
Right.
On the road at Alabama,
exactly,
where they had a post-game win expectancy of 5%. They were very fortunate down the stretch to get the wins. They found ways to do it. They had a very good defense. There's no denying that. But the offense was bad. And that was on display there in Norman on a Friday night. Atmosphere was great. Alabama, though, just outclassed today. The better team won. And, I heard a couple people make the case, I don't know if you said it, Matt, but thinking back to the spread of 7 in favor of Indiana, now close 7.5, they felt like that was a depreciated number because of who Alabama was. Should have been 9 or 10, probably, realistically speaking. And now it's hindsight to say that, but I did hear some folks out there as, by the way, Ole Miss going to get another stop in Pete Golding's defense. I was curious. This is kind of typical Georgia. They came out ready to go in the SEC championship game, but Georgia's MO all year has been slow starts, and they're off to another slow start here. 2 empty possessions, and boy, this is impressive to see from Ole Miss. Look, we saw Indiana bucked the trend. Granted, it's a very small sample size of the teams off of a bye struggling. Georgia, team off of a bye. Ole Miss played Tulane, won convincingly, and it's kind of reverting back to what we had seen here the first two games of this round and all of last year. So we will see Ole Miss's offense again, and now the live number.
3.5. Georgia 3.5 -120. Live total down to 47.5. I know that you wanted to bet this game under. Did you bet it under?
Did not.
Okay.
I instead laid the chalk with Georgia, and I'm sure this will be the one where the steam was accurate on Ole Miss. But a lot of football still to be played, and we'll see if Georgia had a couple moments on that last drive where they were close to making a big play. But look, Ole Miss, the thing you could say about them, even without Lane Kiffin on the sidelines calling the plays, they got some dynamic playmakers. Trinidad Chambliss, a really good quarterback. Kawan Lacy, they've got some underrated receivers. And that was a good drive the last time out. So pressure starting to build up a little bit here on Georgia. Can they get a stop? Ball at the 20-yard line. Total at 48.5, and the money line down to -188 on Georgia. Ole Miss +145, Matt.
Well, we talked about this pregame. I didn't think it was going to be easy. I thought it would be a sweat, and that's what we're in right now. Georgia off to another slow start. And, Tim, the first time these teams played, Ole Miss led Georgia 21-20 at halftime. You remember that well.
Yep.
Right?
It was a big fourth quarter. Georgia was able to pull away, and we will see what happens here. But once again, think about most of the games outside of the SEC championship. The story on this Georgia team is slow starts, and this is – back-to-back empty possessions for Gunnar Stockton and this Georgia offense. Give credit to Pete Golding. You know, I had questions about how Pete Golding would have this team prepared off of the win over Tulane, the emotional game. And so far, granted, we're still in the first quarter, but so far he's got his team ready to go here in this spot. So 3-0 is the score. Ole Miss will have the ball once again at their own 20-yard line. Trinidad Chambliss, 6 of 10 so far, 38 yards. Kawan Lacy, 31 rushing yards. Harrison Wallace, 3 catches for 23 yards. Gunnar Stockton, that was a 3 and out. The first drive, you know, had some promise. I love their first play of the game. They did a bootleg throughout the Oscar Delp for 16 yards. That last possession, not that impressive. And, you know, it is worth noting, Drew Bobo, a stud on their offensive line, he's out due to injury. He was out during the Alabama game. And early on, you're feeling a little bit of that presence being missed there on that offensive line.
Well, it's true, because Rebels' defensive front has been getting some pressure on Gunnar Stockton. And it's not quite a jailbreak, but, Tim, they've I think up front, the Ole Miss defensive line's won that battle so far. Also worth noting, Friday, January 9th in the Peach Bowl, we talked about 4.5 being the opening number in favor of Indiana against Oregon. Those 4.5s have disappeared. Now you see them 4 at DraftKings, 4 at the Superbook, 3.5 at FanDuel. I see 3.5 at another book out there. So I thought that number would be more like 3 or 3.5. Looks like it's coming down a bit in that direction. You're always going to have some recency bias. And Chuck Esposito, the Red Rock Sportsbook director, talked about it when he was on with us. He was impressed.
Yep.
Everybody was impressed by the way the Hoosiers took care of business against Alabama. So that number opened a tick high, and you had sharp money show up there on Oregon +4.5.
Starting to see a little under money, too, down to 46.5 at a couple of shops. I did take some 47.5 under. Those are still out there. Looks like FanDuel has 47.5. South Point still has 47.5. As well as, oh, man.
Almost picked off.
Trinidad Chambliss is really playing with fire here. There's been a couple of opportunities for Georgia to make some interceptions. Haven't got it yet. So Ole Miss, their third possession of the game. Their second possession was a good one, and it led to a 55-yard field goal that could have been good from, as Matt said, 70 yards. It was a beautiful kick by Ole Miss. 3-0 is our score, and Kawan Lacy's going to pick up another first down. Man, they are right now. Charlie Weiss Jr., who's headed to LSU, is calling a pretty good game so far against this Georgia defense. Hey, folks, just a reminder, reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner with us here at VSiN, so you can get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. Head on over to vsin.com/advertise. Email us at advertising@vsin.com. Ole Miss on the march again.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Big third down coming up for Ole Miss at the 39-yard line of Georgia. As we learned already, this is already field goal range. The field goal kicker for Ole Miss is quite the weapon, as we saw, courtesy of a 55-yarder. But 2:21 to go first quarter, and a big play up coming here for this Ole Miss offense as Trinidad Chambliss's pass is deflected. And is that – oh, because it's going to bounce off. A lot of deflected passes already so far in this game. Gunnar Stockton's had a couple passes knocked down.
One of these passes is going to get deflected and picked off. But so far, both quarterbacks playing with fire a little bit and getting away with it. So we're going to have another long field goal attempt here by the Rebels, and I'm just going to assume it's going to be good, Tim. By the way,
are you looking at your live line right now?
No, the live betting screen has not updated the score. It still shows 3-0 Ole Miss. Now it's 6-0. This is going to be good.
Jeez. Lucas Carnero. Is going to have 256-yard field goals already in this game. Man, you think about the first round of this tournament, man.
He drills that one,
goodness
too.
Goodness gracious. That is...
It's good from at least 65.
He is a weapon.
Buffalo Bills can't find a competent kicker. Scouting.
He might be a first-round pick, Matt, here.
Think about how much of a weapon a kicker is in the NFL now the way the game is played, Tim. Right?
256 yarders with ease from this dude.
A kicker like this,
good Lord!
In the third round, I wouldn't blame you, because kicking is such a big part of the NFL, and it costs teams games.
Matt, we should
win teams games, but it cost the Buffalo Bills last weekend.
We should remember this when we're doing draft night coverage here on VSiN. This dude gets his name called.
I don't think he's going to be a first rounder.
No, I don't think so either. Maybe on Saturday when I'm doing the tailgate show. But two very impressive kicks. Ole Miss leads 6-0. Live number down to 2.5. And Georgia minus 145 on the money line. And you got to ask yourself, is this the time to look at Georgia, or do you need to see a little bit more from the Bulldogs?
I need to see more.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm already invested on Georgia pregame. There's no way I'm betting more. I told you I thought we were going to have to sweat this one out, and we're going to be sweating this one out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, this tonight is going to be a battle. And
if you took Ole Miss +6, +6.5, you got to feel pretty good about the direction your bet is headed right now.
Yeah, it's funny because when the quarterfinals kind of initially came out, the first bet I made was on Georgia. I thought this would be a really good spot for the Bulldogs, and so far it is not. Ole Miss has been the better team. Granted, we're not even through the first quarter, so we will see how this evening unfolds. And not desperation time, but you would like to see something here from this Georgia offense. Had promise on their opening drive, nothing on the second. And Pete Golding has called a good game so far defensively here for Ole Miss, a Ole Miss defense that left a lot to be desired, as now you get a strong run here to start off the second drive for the Georgia Bulldogs. So 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. Georgia trailing 6-0, a pair of 55-plus yard field goals from the Ole Miss Rebels. Nate Frazier with a big run there for about, 11 or 12 yards for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Frazier's a really good back. You got to think he's going to be a weapon Georgia's going to want to lean on in the second half, try to wear this Ole Miss defense down. But that was a nice run on first down. What was that, about 14 yards?
Yeah, it was a solid run out there by Frazier, and he picks up another chunk here on second down. So good start to the third drive for Georgia. First two drives came up empty. Ole Miss went 3-out. I didn't go 3-out, but their first drive didn't lead to points, but their next two led to long-distance field goals.
We've got three plays in the Circa Friday Football Invitational on this game tonight, and Kenny White is on the dog. Kenny White's making a run up to standings. He's going to be on the Friday night show in the first hour with Derek Stevens. Kenny on Ole Miss +6.5. The other two contestants on this graphic on the Georgia side, Frank Carulli and Carl Sack, each on Georgia -6.5. And this is a best bet for Frank. And I know Frank's probably watching
Holy smokes.
Sits in the Westgate Sportsbook right now. He can't be happy
Colby
with the
Young.
Way this is going.
But that Welcome was, back. Holy moly.
Yeah, nice catch for a first down. Georgia moving the ball here finally.
Matt, by the way, if you like to follow Steam, I'm just looking at the board right now. We do have three bowl games tomorrow, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And one of your favorites, I know one that you've attended, not saying that this matchup is a favorite of yours, but the Holiday Bowl played at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego. SMU has now flipped to a favorite at a number of books. So some pony love into the market against Arizona here. As Georgia will get inside the 40-yard line, promising drive. End of the first quarter, 6-0 Ole Miss, but Georgia into Ole Miss territory. Live number back up to 3.5, and the money line was just -145, now up to -188. So one quarter in play at the Sugar Bowl, and Ole Miss leads 6-0.
Couple of tweets to read here quickly. Matt Grissom. A guest on this show, Matt Grissom, a winner of one of the quarters of the Average Joe contest. By the way, in the Friday night contest, I had him on the show a couple weeks ago. Grissom tweets, quote, "While the results may have been similar, Notre Dame should have been in the playoff over Alabama, and I'll die on that hill. Alabama has been the phoniest college football team all season." Also,
Matt Grissom, by the way, a Arkansas fan, and usually they stick together, right?
SEC?
The SEC sticks together. So I'm just
SEC's like a cult, right?
I remember being at the national championship when Notre Dame was overrated back in 2012. A dominant performance by Alabama, and the fans started chanting SEC, and I couldn't understand what the hell was going on.
I think Alabama won that game 42-14.
That is correct. Led 28-0 at halftime.
And actually, it could have been a lot worse than 42-14.
Yeah. It was 28-0. Matt, it was over when they came on the field.
Yeah.
But that, it's different.
I really thought in the first half that night, I probably would have lost a live bet. I didn't live bet it that night. But when you watch halfway through the first quarter, first half, I said, Alabama can win this game 56-0 if Nick Saban wants.
Yeah, he didn't want to. Second half, he wasn't ready to embarrass. That first half was sheer domination.
Another tweet here from Matt Fortuna. I think you know him well. Yeah, right?
Inside Zone, also part of the independent podcast with Pete Sampson.
Every remaining playoff team is coached by a former Nick Saban assistant, except for one. That one team is Alabama. That was during the game.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer, not an Alabama Nick Saban assistant in the past. You got to think that, Lane Kiffin, a former Nick Saban assistant.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys are going to be hot hires. When you see what Kurt Cignetti is doing, everybody's going to be looking for, who's the Nick Saban assistant that could be the next Kurt Cignetti?
It was like the Shanahan tree, right? When Sean McVay got the job and at the Rams, that's worked out obviously well. But Zach Taylor.
Dan Lanning.
By the way, I'm watching a video of the reaction from the Indiana team when it is announced that the offensive line was named MVP.
Oh, it was the entire offensive line?
I think it was Pat Coogan and the offensive line.
Pat Coogan was the representative who took the award. Yeah. I thought he was the MVP.
I don't know if it was Coogan and the line or if it was that, whatever. But the reaction says it all, man. This Indiana team, man, that semifinal down in Atlanta next Friday night is going to be fantastic. Oregon, Indiana rematch. We've talked about the line already coming out. 4.5 got scooped up from Oregon. Now you're looking at 4, some 3.5 out there. That's going to be a battle. And that's why I like the under, man. I think it's going to be a hard-hitting defensive showdown. But both those off. I mean, you're also getting the two top quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft going head to head, and Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza.
I mean, that's the marquee semifinal, no doubt about it, especially because of those quarterbacks, but also the coaching staffs. I think those two coaching staffs are as good as it gets right now. Dan Lanning, his two coordinators, obviously moving on to other head coaching jobs, and we got two Big Ten teams in that semi. Guaranteed to get one in the championship. Big Ten going for 3 consecutive national championships.
And three different teams.
Yeah, the winner of that Oregon-Indiana game is going to be the favorite in the national championship, right?
Yeah. If Georgia-Oregon, I think Georgia would be the favorite, right?
It'd be very tight. It'd be a very close line either way, right? Probably 1.5.
Indiana will be the favorite.
I mean, if Oregon beats Indiana, I think Oregon's got a good shot to be the favorite in that championship game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. By the way, Georgia, inside the 10-yard line, Nate Frazier is running well right now.
Keep this going. Wear down the Ole Miss defense. Tim, this is not a great Ole Miss defense, right? You got to take advantage.
Yeah, this is having two empty possessions was not an ideal start for the Georgia Bulldogs, and we'll see if they can turn this drive into a touchdown, but they are moving the ball well inside the 15-yard line right now. Matt, we're going to talk to Bruce Marshall, right? Coming up top of the hour. Yep. Get some thoughts on tomorrow's bowl games with Bruce as well, so we're always looking forward to talking to Bruce as Gunnar Stockton is going to take it into the end zone.
Dogs.
The first touchdown of the game somewhere out there. Did Ryan Kramer play Gunnar Stockton first touchdown? It's a primetime game. Dogs into the end zone.